How would you like to get sales with $0? Jonathan Grabowski will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Jonathan is he's the CMO and co-founder of Penji, an Inc. 5000 creative subscription service that empowers businesses, agencies, and teams with affordable top-tier creative talent. He's also a storyteller and host of Dear Dads and Free Ideas, where he shares insights on entrepreneurship, leadership, and family life. So, Jonathan, tell us about how can entrepreneurs get sales with $0?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
I would say a lot of ways, especially with the addition of AI. I think over the past couple of years, of my entire career, I would say that sales has been very, very important, obviously. But I've always found a way to get myself into businesses without actually having to, without having the skill set of actually getting the sale. And I've always, always, always found a way. So I can definitely go into as much detail as you want, but if you want to, you know, ask where do you want me to begin? I'd be more than happy to do so.
Yeah. So tell us how someone starts to get sales with $0. What does that actually even mean?
Sure, absolutely. So when you first start a business, you have no money. When we first started the business, we had no money. So how did we grow to over 500 people without actually developing, without ever receiving an ounce of funding? Because we bootstrapped this entire business and we went from two people inside of a basement, basically, to, like I said, over 500 people. The first and foremost, I'd say, is good systems. When we had the business in the beginning, it's a lot different than what it is now. In the very beginning, what we did was we created this service, more or less, and we interviewed 200 people. When we interviewed those 200 people, we asked them, if we built this, would you buy it? And if you bought it, how much would you pay for it? We primarily chose about 200 of our business professionals, friends, like not like family and things like that, because our business at Penji is a B2B service. So we can't sell it to like my mom or my dad, right? Like doesn't work that way. So we interviewed 200 plus people and we said, we're about to build this. Do you want to buy it? They said, yes. We charged at the time $79 a month. And we got about more than half of those people were interested. So those were like the first like foundational customers, our first 100 customers, just by asking and getting on really hard interviews and conversations with those people. From there, it's a little bit more detailed. But let me know if you have any questions based on that so far.
Okay, so tell me what those people got.
Sure. So they got our current service that we're selling, basically the same exact service for $1,000. So right now it's $1,000 a month. Back then it was $79 a month, but essentially they get a trusted team of creatives that you can submit a project or an idea to, and they'll be able to complete that project in under 24 hours, exactly to the specifications that you're looking for. We do use AI as well, especially now we use AI. And so we can complete a project exactly to your liking without the use of AI, without touching a computer or without touching any type of systems of any kind. You can send an email, send a text, log into Penji, and then it'll be done for you.
Okay, but give me an example of a project that people have submitted and what have you completed?
Sure. So we have thousands of customers. So I can't necessarily tell you one, but I will say that in a use case of like a large organization. So a large organization that in the printing industry needs all of their images to be put, all of their products to be put into a Amazon type of image, right? They submit the request inside of Penji. Penji Designer, Penji Creative takes the completes the project in 24 to 48 hours, submits it back to the client. The client does whatever they want with it from there.
Okay. Okay, so tell me how someone can implement this idea into their business to get
The
sales with $0.
sure. So if you have an idea, so I'm going to answer this question in two ways. Number one, it's going to be the people who are starting. If you're just starting your business, I would say number one, find at least 100 people that you believe are your good that are a good product fit. Create a list on Google Sheets, write them all out. Hopefully they are your friends. Interview every single one of them on a podcast, no different than what Lily is doing. Talk to them about the product after the call or before the call, and introduce the business to them and the idea. From there, sell them directly again before or after that call. This will probably take you, if you do it right, will probably take you 1 to 3 months to complete. After you complete that, you have literally, you spend no dollars in sales. Unless you want to subscribe to Zoom, or unless you want to buy a nice microphone, you've spent $0, right? So now you have that foundation of 100 people. Hopefully 50% of them or 20% of them, depending upon what you're selling, will become a customer. That's how to do the first part. The second part is a little bit more difficult, and that's the scale the business. Would you like me to go a little bit more into the scaling aspects?
Yes, but first I want you to tell us how you would deliver because, for example, you came up with this great concept, and then I want to know how you actually managed to deliver on that because sometimes you can make some great promises, but maybe you haven't really thought it through, like how much it's going to cost you to deliver on what you promised those people that were going to be your founding members in your membership.
So how did we come to the pricing?
How did you deliver on it? Like, how did you make sure that you could deliver on that with the pricing that you came up with in the beginning? Because sometimes, like when you're starting out, like nobody wants to try you out. And then you're giving sometimes a price that is a lot below what you should be charging and perhaps is not so sustainable for the long term. If you do it in the very short term, maybe you can come up with a price that will actually cause you a loss. But it will allow you to demonstrate the product is feasible. It will allow you to demonstrate that people want to buy it, but at a low price. So, like, first of all, how did you manage to even deliver on what what on
Sure.
that
In the very be
$7
yeah, no, that's
membership?
a good question. In the very beginning, you to your point, Lily, you don't worry about profit at all. In my particular opinion, I think you worry about surviving. Surviving is the most important part, especially in the very beginning, because you might have a family, you might be doing this part-time. I think to me, it should be if you interview right and you ask the right questions, you can get a general idea of what you believe it should cost. For us, we just threw out the number $79 and we were stupid about it. So I'll just be very honest, like, don't do what we did because it's not sustainable. We were bleeding in for a large majority of the time, but we still maintained the relationship of the $79 with those people. And then we built our website, and then we built our product, and we built our technology in the meantime so we can survive a little bit further. And then we actually sold the service to people outside of those 79 people. That's how we did it. That's how I would recommend it. But how do we deliver it? We have technology. It's no different than like McDonald's, right? When you go to McDonald's, you hit buttons and then you order something. We are very similar in that aspect too at Penji. You go onto our website, you go onto our technology, you tell us what you want to create, you then submit the project, and then gets received to a graphic designer. The graphic designer sees the actual description, and then they complete the project in 24 to 48 hours.
Thank you. What system did you have to put in place to automate that so that you could deliver on time and everything?
Are you talking about the deliverabilities of the actual, like, just like the projects?
Yeah.
Got it. So what we've created is basically, it's a lot of like internal software, I'd say. So it's like internal communications. So to the end user, the client, like if you're a digital marketing agency, or if you're like somebody who's in the creative industry, they don't necessarily care about the internal communication aspects, right? They say, I want this done yesterday, and I want it done, you know, basically now. You receive it, you acknowledge it, you ask questions where necessary, and then behind the scenes, it's being worked on and developed. For the most part, it's a lot of just internal communication. I don't know how if you want me to go into detail, I don't know how relevant it is to understand that process, but if you're intrigued by it, I'd be more than happy to share more. I guess I want to make sure I answer your exact question based on your level of interest.
Yeah. So like, for example, in the publishing industry where I am, one thing that really tripped me up was my inability to put boundaries on the number of requests, of creative requests.
Okay.
So for example, let's say the client, let's say I did two book covers, but then to get to that, it took me like 1,000 different revisions to the point where I thought, okay, this is actually really brilliant. And then let's say the customer going like, no, I actually wanted a different picture. And I'm like, oh my God. And so it's like you have to start from scratch. And then it's like, I hadn't thought of, okay, I need to say, okay, only two. And actually, I had in mind that, okay, I'm only going to do two covers. But what if they don't like it? And in the creative industry, like, how do you put limits?
Yeah. On okay, I understand your question now.
Gets done so that you are able to deliver on something.
Yep, for sure. So I would say put the onus on the customer rather than the onus on yourself. I would say selling is obviously, if I were to, I don't know your full details, but I would just say based on what I heard, I think if you receive a request either via email or via by text or via by whatever it may be, I think you should probably ask a clarifying question that says like, did I hear this correctly? Or are you sure that this is the deliverable that you're looking for? At Penji, we do that. In addition to that, we don't really have boundaries in our business specifically. However, we give we allow the customer to make the revisions themselves. So for example, if your project is two book covers, they ask for two book covers, we deliver two book covers, right? Then they receive the project, then they can tell us what they want changed. So in our technology, they can circle things, they can edit things, they can modify things, they could tell us exactly what they want. When you put the effort, the onus on the customer, although yes, that is a little bit, moderately counterintuitive because it kind of messes with the customer experience. But when you put the pressure back onto the customer, it allows them the ability to make the changes themselves, and it justifies a potential requote if you need it. In our particular business, that's not what we do. Like, it's free regard. Like, it's every revision is free, so it's slightly different. But if I were you in this particular situation, Lily, I would say, you want this to be done, that's going to require two more hours, right? Depending upon if you quote, hourly. Now, if you quote correctly in the first place, where you say all-inclusive experience and you spend a little bit more money, it just depends on what you're selling. It just depends on how much money you're charging. But I would probably say that this is, maybe you might want to quote somebody that says, this is the amount of hours that I'm going to take. And if it requires additional hours, it's suggested to a requote.
Thank you. Tell us more about how do you find those first 100 customers if you don't have a community, you don't have a network, and you really don't have a lot of friends that are in your desired target market?
So that was me. And I would just say the product that you're trying to create or the business that you're trying to create, you have to have somebody in mind that you're selling it to. More often, it's probably yourself. For Penji's particular product, I am the best customer of Penji. I am not a designer. I am not a... I'm terrible at design. However, I have a good marketing eye. So to me, I was able to sell Penji to people that are very similar to myself. If you are a publisher or a startup founder trying to do AI, there are business personas that you have in mind that would be a perfect fit for this particular business. And I think that's where if the recommendation of like a podcast or the recommendation of some type of like content series or collaboration of some kind will give you an ability to meet new people. I wouldn't say my network is the highest ability, you know, the largest in the world. However, I know the right people that solve the right problems that can help me in my business. Sometimes in most businesses, it doesn't need 1,000 people. It could mean 10, it could mean 5, it could mean 100, it can mean 1,000. But I would just say like going out there and researching the people that you think are your best customers and cold reaching out to them and giving them a platform to speak on, Lily, no different than yourself. You have an amazing podcast, you have an amazing TV network, you have the ability to talk to people and you can ask them any question that you want. And I promise you, I'll probably answer it as truthfully as possible. So if you wanted to pitch something, a podcast to me is probably the best ability to do so.
Thank you. How does someone go from their first 100 founding members, let's say for their membership or the first buyers of whatever product a company has, to expanding to their first 1,000, considering the really big price difference? Because for me, for example, initially it was so easy to sell for cheap, you know, but I wasn't making any profit. And then when I went to like much more expensive, it's a lot harder. And I think also the client type is very different, because the people I was appealing to before was like Walmart type clients. And then afterwards it's like Prada. And so it's just a very different, everything, because it's like it's really not exactly the same client. It's like literally you have to learn everything from scratch again, and you have to become a much more elevated person as well to sell at a much higher price. So I'm wondering, what do you have to do to kind of get from your first 100 to your first 1,000 clients, considering this difference in terms of client avatar?
Great question. It's one of the hardest things that you could possibly do in your life. But I'm hopeful that my answer can help you slightly. Of all the customers that you spoke to, I would probably interview them again and talk to them if you don't have a good relationship with them, and find a way to ask them questions and record the conversation, run it through AI, and see if there's any type of similarity into their wording that allows you the ability to capture at least 3 to 5 sentences that you could use for your next buyers, to your next clients. We're almost 10 years into the business and we still don't have like the best pricing. However, I myself interview and I talk to and I get on calls with every single one of our customers almost daily. And I ask them questions like, how can we be better? What can we do differently? What is your current experience like? What was your current experience? And I'm using Gemini and all these other LLMs to gather this data, putting it into a sheet, sending it to AI and asking AI to analyze it. And the website that we're about to release is an indication of that exact process. And it's using phrases based and creating a service that's based on the selling profile of the consistent people that we're speaking to. In the very beginning of Penji, we primarily sold to digital marketing agencies. Then we found out that digital marketing agencies, although are amazing and can use Penji, most of the digital marketing agencies that we're trying to go after are very similar to your product, like your previous type of people that you probably spoke to. They're not cheap per se, but they're a little bit more difficult to work with. So we now focus our selling proposition to marketing teams. So people who have an existing team within their business and not somebody who doesn't have anyone and they are the only person themselves. So it's a slight different, but it's an elevated customer persona than that of like, hey, if you're breathing, become a customer. So that took 10 years plus to figure that out. Now, obviously most people may not have 10 years. So if you were to interview your customers and you were to run it through AI, I think you could find that answer out a little bit faster. And then once you get those responses, then you can create products specifically for those types of people. So instead of just, for example, in your case, if you're a publisher, instead of creating a book title, right, maybe you can, this is just an idea, you can not only create the book cover, but you can also write the entire book using AI. So that way it completely removes the person from the entire equation of the book writing process, but they get full credit about the system and the process. That in itself went from like a $500 project to like a $10,000 project, because most people probably don't want to write books, but they want the recognition for what a book will give you. So that in itself is like the progression of, you know, you said Walmart, but like Walmart type customers to like Prada.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell
does me, that help you?
Kind of.
Well, how can I help you further then?
So tell me about what do you have to do like to metamorphose yourself into the kind of person that these people you want to appeal to actually feel compelled to buy from you? Like, what do you have to do aside from, I mean, you did mention a lot of technical stuff in terms of like, okay, the website, the wording, but is there something else from a personality kind of thing that you have to do energetically, or I don't know, that, because I feel, okay, that when you're vibrating on an energy of like attracting Walmart customers all of the time, sometimes you're repelling these ideal clients that are Prada type clients that they want your service, but somehow you're not convincing them somehow. Okay. So I'm wondering, what do you have to do to kind of convince them, where you're not convincing them, like they're convincing themselves. They feel like, oh my God, I've been looking for Lily all my life and all this.
I think that's the problem. I would say, and I don't know you well, but I would say you probably don't know your customers as well as you think you do. And I'm just objectively speaking based on what I'm hearing. Because if you say the right sentence, like let's just say you haven't drank water in like 10 days, right? And then all of a sudden somebody comes up to you and drinks water and offers you water, you're going to want it, right? To me, I don't, maybe there's something in your messaging and your brand and your wording, right? Because if you, whatever, like if you use the sentence, it's going to attract the Walmart type people. Then that means your wording is just catered to cheap clients. And you can, in full disclosure, you can run a really good business based on that. It's not that you can't, but I would say, like, I lived under the principle of like selling low in order to expand the account, right? So like you sell them at $100 and then you provide really good service, and then you upgrade them and upgrade them and upgrade them and upgrade them. I think there's a plan that needs to be in place there, right? The Penji model is like, this is the baseline, right? This is just to like get your foot in the door. And then we have other things that allow you the ability to improve the customer's experience. So I would say, you know, for somebody like yourself, again, I don't know what I'm just going off of what I'm hearing. It sounds like you don't have like a good lead. Potentially you should consider a new lead capture. I would then from there offer a set of products, but I wouldn't suggest a product until you prove yourself. In terms of energy, I think I never change who I am. And if somebody doesn't care about me or doesn't resonate with what I'm doing, they can F off and I don't really care about them and I won't talk to you. In fact, I've fired more customers than I've fired employees. Because if you're disrespectful or if you're racist or you're just a D-bag, I don't want you in my atmosphere. So therefore, we're wasting our time, right? So I fired a client like 3 days ago because he said some stuff that I didn't respect and like, and I just, we canceled the account and said, hey man, go take your business somewhere else. Like, you can't do that here. So, you know, if you feel like you're begging, I would say that you don't have confidence in either your product, maybe yourself. And I'm not saying this about you, Lily. I'm just saying in general, that you probably don't have enough confidence in yourself or your product, and you don't have a fail-safe or a system in place in order to sell properly to upgrade that customer.
Okay. Tell us about how did you expand the business from And how did you basically, how did you scale the business with $0?
Yeah. Well, I'd say this part, unfortunately, does require money. So this breaks away from the $0 revenue aspect. Because I think once you get a system, then you have to hire people. And once you are able to do it yourself, you have to create versions of yourself. We scaled in multiple ways. Number one, we use platforms like yourself, Lily. We went on podcast. I went on podcast. I've been interviewed by like almost 500 people at this point. And I use that as a leverage to create backlinks for the website. That helped us with SEO. Unfortunately, that doesn't really matter any. I mean, it does in a way, but it doesn't matter as much. And then we did cold emails, really good advertising, genuine outreach, and relationship building. There are like the 3-4 pillars of any business.
Thank you.
If you want me to expand on any one, I can go on.
Expand on all of them.
All of them. All right. Which one first? Which one would you like me to?
Whichever.
Okay. So I'll start with advertising. We gained $1,000 in profit 1 month. We took that $1,000. We put it into ads. We then duplicated that the next month based on the success, put $2,000 in, then $4,000, and then $10,000, and $20,000, and $50,000. And that's how you scale ads. It's really, I mean, there's a lot of nuance to that, but I think it just depends on your level of fear, because it is scary to spend $100,000 a month in advertising. But if you have a good product and good messaging, and you're attacking the right customer persona, you'll make that money back and more. Cold outreach, we send close to 75,000 messages a month. That did not start overnight. That took a lot of time. And it requires a lot of technical skill in order to scale that to that volume. Again, if you don't know your ICP, and you don't know your profile, and you don't know what to say, you will never achieve that. So because of the interviews that we've did and the people that we talk to, we have about 10 scripts that we can use and ask one singular question in order to book a meeting, more or less. Not every single time. It might take more messages, but there's a couple of questions that we have that we can ask and say, when we say this line, it's got like a 20 to 30% success rate. And that ultimately depends on, again, the ICP. So for somebody like an enterprise team, it'd be like, how fast is your current internal team on delivering graphic design projects, right? Is it a pain in the ass to hire and manage multiple people, right? Within the creative design process. More often than not, sometimes they tell us just F off and go away. But if you can word it in a way where it's super unique and clickbaity and it's fun, I think your response rates will be very successful. So I'll give you an example. I spoke to the CMO of Wix, right? I messaged him about 50 times in the span of 3 weeks. And my first thing that got his attention was, if I beat you in rock, paper, scissors, will you take a meeting with me? And he said, yes. Now, mind you, I never rock, paper, scissors with him once, but I used that as a tool to be funny. And I used humor to grab his attention. And I got a meeting with him. So I think it just requires for you to be creative. And it requires you to be, you know, I would just say creative and daring.
That's so interesting. Like sometimes, I mean, people pitch me to come on the podcast all the time. Okay. And, yeah. I find it quite interesting. Like one time, one guy tried to be so funny, I'm funny. I love funny stuff, you know, but he was like trying to be so funny and he put so much humor into it. Like I couldn't understand what he actually wanted. And
yeah. Like he was too funny to a fault.
Like he was trying to be like so funny and I can't even explain it, but basically the whole thing was trying to be funny, but wasn't. And then the thing is that I'm trying to kind of read this message to kind of understand what does he want actually. And I have no idea. And at the end, I kind of sort of figure it out that he's pitching a person. And, like I want people to come on the podcast, but it's like he made it so hard on himself to actually get chosen. But I did pick him, and I just like wrote back, you should really just write like a couple of sentences about, who is the guy and what he can talk about. And that
yeah,
would
for
have been
sure.
fine,
Yeah.
And you don't have to go through gimmicks to kind of make this happen.
I would agree with that 1000%. I think everybody is different and everybody receives information differently. But I think if you're overwhelmingly human, I think that there's a really, really, really large chance of just, if you're able to be yourself, I think you will win every single time. I'm trying to find like the script that we used in order to book this meeting, but I don't see the script as quickly as I would have hoped for.
I remember it though. I
okay.
remember that it was kind of long. I do remember it was long. And generally, I do prefer to have like a, just like a short paragraph.
Yeah.
Just because like I don't need to have like a, I don't need to read a novel about a person.
Yeah, for sure.
That, that person could kind of go on the podcast. It's just like a paragraph will do. But maybe other people that are podcasters, they need that. And that's why, when people send me a novel, I'm just kind of,
you're gone.
I tend to read quite quickly. So I am able to kind of make a quick judgment.
Yeah.
So
you have stuff to do. I think it was something along the lines of your best podcast of the year, something along those lines. That's one that's worked really well, right?
Is that something you send to everybody? You're the best.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, selfishly speaking, I do think I'm the best, but like, that's another conversation for another day. However, if you were to say like the best podcast of the year, you probably question number one, is this a podcast that I already did that somebody really liked? Or is it a podcast or is somebody pitching me that they're going to be the best podcast of your year? Both receive the same response, right? Both are able to achieve the same result. The fact that it's a positive email subject or a questionable email subject, it allows you the ability to think a little bit differently about it. And if somebody is interested in Penji, I'd be more than happy to share as much as I possibly can about our product and our service. We work with a lot of incredible people. We have an amazing set of talented people. And if there's ever anyone that is interested in Penji, head over to penji.co and I'd be more than happy to share how we can help your business grow.
Thank you. If you want to tell us more about Penji now, you can.
We're a subscription-based company where you can hire the top 2% of graphic designers and creatives in the world. AI is absolutely amazing and does a lot of amazing things. However, it's no different than you building jewelry. It's no different than you building clothing. It's no different than you building something that is specific to a very tailored individual. The ideology of having AI build everything, I think, is great. However, building things with your hands is incredibly important. And that's a problem that Penji solves, which is if you're looking to hire somebody in-house, Penji is the best alternative to do that. Entrepreneurship and business can be very lonely. Finding reliable people to work with can be very difficult. We are a credit card transaction, and we require no United States accounting principles. And so you can sign up for Penji, get paired with somebody immediately, and receive your project done in 24 hours, less than 24 hours. I don't know many places on planet Earth that allow you the ability to do that, to receive a tailored, customized image made by hand using AI on planet Earth. And if that's something of interest to you, then we want to talk to you and you can check us out at penji.co.
Thank you. Is there any last message you want to share?
I have an awesome podcast called Working Dads. If you're a father and you have children and you want to, hang out and talk to other cool dads, then come join us. And if you don't, that's fine too.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.